Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Del for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And off we go on a holiday Friday. It is basically a holiday show as we get ready for the weekend of sports. And it is going to be... The Texans are still, last I saw, 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's still
I'm not crazy about it. I don't know.
When's the last game you were confident about?
Oh, I've been confident on a lot of games.
Well, I'm just asking which one. Go back and look at the schedule. I don't remember you being confident.
Oh, yeah, absolutely I have been. Absolutely I have been. I mean, yeah. I mean, I've always got my worries about stuff, but I'm absolutely confident in a lot of games.
You were not confident in Jacksonville, going into Jacksonville.
Yeah, I was very confident in Tennessee. And you see how that turned out. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, there's been plenty of games that I've been confident.
Reminded me that we lost to Tennessee and Will Levis.
Yeah. That happened. At Oklahoma City tomorrow night, that's going to be a nice test as you get ready for, at Oklahoma City in Vegas. So here we go. We got that, the semifinals of the NBA Cup, and we've got the Texans on Sunday. So we got a nice weekend of action that we definitely will be talking about on Monday. And don't forget, the Christmas party is not this Monday, coming Monday, but the following Monday at Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. We filled it up last year. We want to fill it up again. And we'll see who's going to – I don't know if we're going to have a Jeremy Piven. But you never know. That came last minute, right?
I already looked at the improv, and we will not have any kind of Jeremy Piven. No, we're very close to having Mark Normand is in January. He is a great comedian, but he comes here in January. Yeah, I was looking around, and it doesn't look like we have any special treats coming. I mean, over the years we've had Eve Edwards, one of the early pioneers of MMA – and I've got something else on that front. He was at one of the Christmas parties and choked. We asked him to choke Jeremy Foster, and he did choke. He gave Jeremy a quick choke. And if any of you have seen videos, if a professional sinks a choking on somebody, it takes about 2 seconds and you're done. And that's what happened. It was great. Kevin Sumlin has appeared when he was head coach of University of Houston, appeared at the Christmas party before. We've had Alonzo Highsmith was there because he wanted to, and he helped design twists and stunts whenever we had our pass protection drills in the parking lot at Klein's Jewelry. So Zoe was there. We've had some different people show up. Last year with Jeremy Piven, he seemed legitimately like excited and happy. I think he thought he was just going to do some show, and he's like, man, it sucks. I'm on the road. And he was legitimately like had a good time with all the listeners. He really did. So that was a cool little thing for us to get. I don't know if it will. If you guys know somebody who's really famous and you can get them to come out to the Christmas party, we are going to give you tamales from Taqueria Serranas.
Yeah.
I'll make that promise to you right now. You got tamales coming for you. It's tamales for a star. If you bring us a star or somebody famous, you get tamales.
I'll tell you what. I'll throw in gyros as well. Okay?
This is a multicultural celebration.
Yeah.
If you can bring it, it's a Greek and Mexican Christmas. If you bring us a star, that's all you got to do. You probably know somebody famous. Like if Jennifer Reina showed up, that would be good. Jason knows her. It could be local celebrity. It could be a national celebrity. Now, rumor has it, this is what the streets are saying. The streets are saying that we're bringing in a big 80-inch TV, and they're going to broadcast your face remotely on the TV. That's what the streets are saying. You're going to be virtual John at the party.
No,
I told the streets that's not what's happening.
That's not what's happening. John, I'm going to be there. Okay, let's stop. Stop already. I will be there. Are you kidding? Miss the Christmas party?
You're not going to miss Christmas party.
Yeah, no, I'm not missing the Christmas party. And I'm going to be there a lot in January as well. I've already got plans, and I'm going to be there a lot. I'll be in Cabo for a couple of days for the
Cabo Cup.
For the Cup. What is it? The Cabo Cup. Yep. The Cabo Cup will be we got Cabo Cup that's coming up in January, Del.
That's is that right. When it always is?
It's either January, late January, early February. This time it's mid-January. So it changes every year. It's just too important to have it one static time during January. It's just too big a deal. So we move it around a little bit. But Cabo Cup is coming up, so we got that to look forward to. And we'll be coming to Houston from there and back and forth from Houston. So that'll be great. That'll be great. It was a Travis Hunter kind of night last night. The Biletnikoff Award, the Defensive Player of the Year Award, and the Walter Camp Player of the Year Award. Holy crap.
Yeah. You think he's going to win Heisman?
Yeah, I guess.
I'd say so. I don't know why people are acting like this. I wonder who's going to win, him or Ashton Gentry. It's definitely going to be Travis Hunter.
It's definitely him.
And you know, the argument against him is he's above average as a wide receiver. He's not the best wide receiver. He's above average as a cornerback. He's not the best cornerback. Well, so we're giving it to a guy who just takes the most. This is the argument that's on social media.
Well, says you because he's the defensive player of the year. He's right. The Biletnikoff winner.
I'm not saying this. I think he should be.
Says me.
Heisman Trophy winner. Are you the one that says he's a total snap
no,
Heisman?
I'm not saying that.
That's one argument is he has the most total snaps.
What I'm
he
saying is
Heisman.
He's not the best receiver in the country.
No.
I don't think he's the best corner in the country. But if you combine them, you can say he's the best player in the country, given the Heisman. Yeah. But I don't think he should be winning the individual awards.
But he did.
I'm not saying he shouldn't.
That's
That is a little bit crazy that he's winning. He's not the best receiver. He's not the
– Well, who's the best
receiver? I think the hype is just crazy.
The guy from San Jose State catches a bunch of dink and dunks. Like, he's just a stat patter. So
well,
it's not him.
Travis is catching screens and taking them to the house. I mean, he's not a great route runner or anything.
No. I know. Who's the best? I really have no idea. I haven't studied him yet close for draft, but I really have no idea if he's going to be a corner or receiver. I know from a size standpoint, he's kind of, from a corner standpoint, I got to see how much he's going to weigh. Because Emmanuel Forbes was a first-round pick who's now out of Washington. Took him a year and a half, and he's already done. He was 166 pounds. That's the one, John, that had like 12 pick sixes in his career. It was incredible. It was like nine, hyperbole a little bit. Nine's insane. And all I could think of was, this guy's 30 pounds lighter than Bryce Young. This cornerback is 30 pounds lighter than Bryce Young. Like, that's a massive problem. And he's out of, like, 166-pound cornerback out of the league. I think Hunter is in the 170s. Now, so was Devontae Smith. And, you know, I think he's going to have to be a wide receiver. I don't think he's going to be a corner at 170-something.
I don't know. And he's going to get – well, he'll have a nice money second – depending on how well he plays. We'll see. We'll see if he translates to
the NFL.
He
thinks he's
going to
keep doing this back. This is not – unless Deion bosses somebody into he does this or he doesn't go to your team.
Right.
Well, how long is he going to be on the sideline with injury? You can't play this guy this many snaps.
He caught 92 balls, okay? 92 balls puts him up there with he's like sixth in the league, fifth in all of football. He was sixth in yards, which is pretty good. There are a couple of guys that are ahead of him that maybe should have gotten some looks. Tetaroa McMillan from Arizona. He's really, really good. Arizona State had a great wide receiver who went down. He got hurt at the end here, so he wasn't able to. There are maybe he is. Maybe he is the best receiver. He's made spectacular plays. The thing about him, like, did you see any McMillan highlights this year? Did you see any Jaden Higgins? I mean, you want to talk
Higgins
about everything that Travis Hunter does is a man, oh, man, if this dude, he gets if he cuts his nails, ESPN is on it.
McMillan is a freak. If he was on a different team, it would be – he's going to be the first receiver drafted. And it's not going to – I don't think it's going to be Travis Hunter as far as receiver. I know what people are saying about Hunter. Let's let the NFL draft process play out, because you saw how Devontae Smith was far and away the best player in college football in 2020 when he won the Heisman Trophy. And then he even fell back a little bit. I'm trying to remember where he's drafted, like sixth or something like that. McMillan is big, makes unbelievable catches. You're right. I mean, people don't. I heard the argument. Deion trying to make the argument. We don't get. No, there's not enough credit for Shadur and Travis. People aren't talking about them because they hate us, so they don't talk about us. What are you? What? I've never heard something that's more outlandish. Like, literally, entire shows go on the road to be at Colorado against Colorado State. You know, that big, massive Colorado State matchup. If anything, Deion last year was insane. This year there was less hype, but there was still plenty of hype. And Travis Hunter he's probably mad that Shadur doesn't get the hype and Travis Hunter does. Like, he's happy for Travis, but Travis is the show. It's not Shadur. And I know NFL teams are not that crazy about Shadur, so we'll see. I'm not sure how the draft rankings are going to stack out, but
I wouldn't be surprised at all. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Shadur is not a top two pick.
Well, that's what everyone says, but remember now, anyone who, first of all, Deion has to give you permission to draft him, number one.
Wow.
And this is not a joke. I'm not being glib. Deion will hold him out if he doesn't. He's fully going to go the Eli Manning route. So this now will effectively eliminate 2 to 3 teams from even, that he'll say, no, he's not going there. It's a bad organization, whatever. And I'm not here to argue with you about whether he should or shouldn't do it. Y'all can have your opinion. I don't care. But what I am telling you is that when you eliminate teams off the board, you have fewer options. And so I would tell you, be careful of that. And number two, if teams don't think he's a good quarterback, they're not drafting him, because he'll get you fired. Just like Trevor Lawrence, who was a good college quarterback and all that, he's partly going to get Doug Peterson fired this year. And really, there's a long list of guys who are going to get fired because their quarterback, you know, the quarterbacks never got developed. So you got to be able to play. Like, I can see this being a Kenny Pickett year. I really could, where quarterbacks slip.
I could. Well, there's that chance. I don't think so, though. I don't think so. I think that they're going to believe in – I think Cam Ward. But I'm going to tell you this. When they see this offseason, they see McMillan and they see Hunter.
Oh, they've seen him.
McMillan is 6'5".
They've seen him. I'm gonna dig around and see.
Yeah,
during
well,
the show,
I'm talking about at the combine. I'm talking about at the combine when they're standing next to each other, or I don't think that there's any McMillan. You're right. McMillan should be the first.
McMillan is a freak. It's just a matter of what he runs.
But the hype around Travis Hunter right now, every projection, NFL projection, early projection, Field Yates, all of these guys, they got Travis Hunter number one. Now, I wonder if there is any way, he plays some both ways in the NFL?
It's possible, but I think that only for the first couple years. The NFL will really want you to learn your craft. So if you're going to be a cornerback, you know, they want you to really tighten it up with coaching and focus, and you have to be in meeting rooms. I mean, that's one of the things people don't really take into account, because it's not a video game. You got to be in meeting rooms during the week. You got to be in the corner room. You got to be in the wide receiver room. There's a lot that goes into preparation, way more than college, and for most programs. And that's Travis. I don't think anyone doubts his work ethic. I've heard he has a great work ethic, but there's just not enough pure time to be truly prepared in both ways. So yeah, could he do some? Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be easier to be a cornerback and then get into games with wide receiver packages. But something tells me that he's going to be a wide receiver who gets in as a third corner from time to time. And I do think they'll try it early on. because he's, you know, he's very talented. But
he's so good, man.
But, man, if you remember now, he's got to tackle NFL backs. And one of the things NFL teams will do when they see him as a corner, all they're going to do, because you can take out the team's wide receiver. Remember this. The same Aziz had a shot to take out a quarterback, and he did it. And the NFL and NFL players will do that legally or by any means necessary. This is what NFL teams do. They use it's violent. And if they got a chance to take out your best offensive threat, Travis Hunter, by not blocking him, by the corner, you know, the wide receiver will go block the safety, and now he's got to take on running back by himself, they're going to go low and try to run that dude over. They're going to try to put him out of the game because you're taking out touchdowns. I mean, it's not only do you wipe a cornerback off the field, if you run him over and you run at him multiple times and make him tackle you, you either are successful because he stops trying to tackle, or, you know, he ends up getting dinged up and you take offense off the field. I don't think people are thinking about that. That's a real thing in the NFL. And he's not 195 pounds. That
well,
dude's like 170.
He's listed as 185.
Okay. Even 185 is not
well,
big.
But during the football season, you're going to lose
But
weight,
just look at him. Look at him. Yeah. Does he look like a thick body guy who can tackle, like a guy who's got the muscle tone to the muscle on his body to tackle NFL running backs?
He doesn't look like it to me.
He's slender.
He didn't have the muscle tone to tackle that Kansas running back when they ran all over them.
Yeah, that's right.
So I saw that game, and you know, Kansas took him out of the game because they didn't have to worry about throwing the football. Look, the Heisman is a different subject. You're talking about the NFL. He'll win the Heisman, whatever. But I'm not sure this can't miss thing that's going on with him just because of his size. I'm not questioning the talent. I'm with you. I think his long lasting position is wide receiver.
Yeah.
Well, scoring touchdowns is a big deal.
Yeah.
In Kansas, he was making a business decision, Dell. Okay, we got business to take.
Well, that's one running back. Every running back's going to be that size and as talented, and he's going to be exposed if he's making business decisions every Sunday.
Devontae Smith was the 10th pick of the draft, and Devontae Smith was, I would argue, more talented than Travis Hunter. Hunter is more renowned as a wide receiver, not even close. Like, Devontae was more talented than Ja'Marr Chase, but guess what? Ja'Marr Chase was bigger and faster. They're about the same speed, but Ja'Marr Chase had a pro body type. And Ja'Marr Chase didn't even play that year. He was an opt-out. Remember that? He didn't even play, and he was the 5th pick of the draft. Kyle Pitts was the 4th pick of the draft. Freak Daddy, both of them. And then Jaylen Waddle, Freak Daddy speed. Like, you know, Devontae Smith was the 4th pass catcher and 3rd receiver off the board, and this dude won the Heisman, and I would argue was much more talented as a wide receiver than Travis, just because I think Devontae Smith was one of the most talented wide receivers I've ever studied. He just happened to be small.
We got a break in here. 713-780-3776. We got Texans to talk. We got Astros news. We got to get ready for Oklahoma City and the NBA Cup. We got a lot to do. You got a lot to do. If you were in the bathroom this morning and you're looking at your hairline and you're going, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, this stinks. Man, I lost more hair. There's more hairs in the shower this morning. What? Okay, you can stop this. You can do something about it. You don't have to just accept it. You need Doc Linville. You need him in your life. I've got Doc Linville in my life, and I'm so happy for it. 975 Hair is where you go, and you find out. You go and you talk. You could do a virtual consultation with the doc, and he will tell you whether or not you're a candidate. You go. You can come in. You find out whether or not you're a candidate for the neografting, which is awesome, where they take the hair from the side and the back, and they don't cut it. They pinch it out and they plant it in the top of your head, and 7-8 months later it takes and it's awesome and you see a lot more hair on the top of your head. Or you could get the PRP, which generates your own hair, to stimulate your own hair to grow. So if you're looking for the best way, don't just let it go. Don't, especially if you're younger. If you're in your 30s and you're losing your hair, man, come on. It's too young. You're too young. Do something about it, and you can. 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right,
John,
back here.
Dell said something that cannot stand during the break.
Everything he says is can't stand.
No, this is one I can't, like, I don't understand this. I don't even know how this is possible. What is something that you hate? Just give me something that you hate.
I hate cart path only.
Okay. Is there a group of people you hate? And I know that sounds dangerous when I ask you that question.
Yeah. Yeah, people that do the wave at Astros games.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
I hate those people.
That's no problem. People who do the wave. Yeah. That's a good one. Okay. Dell. Well, I just told Dell there's somebody coming in to Houston.
Be brave. Say what you said since you're trying to put me on. Say what you said.
Well, are you going to say what you said?
Say what you said.
Okay. I said there is a dwarf comedian named Brad Williams who's coming to.
Oh, Brad Williams is cool. But I will finish. Now, I'll say what I said.
You say he's cool. He's a funny comedian.
Yes, he is.
He's coming to Houston. I said, but not to the Christmas party. And I was met with what?
I said I hate stand-up comedians.
Have you ever heard of anyone who hates stand-up comedians, John?
I hate their energy, the self-importance. I get it. You got a job, and I know it's the most difficult job to ever be done in entertainment. That's the vibe a lot of them give off, how difficult it is.
Well, like Mark Maron does. A lot of them do get very dark. Like, no, I'm a huge stand-up comedy fan and have been for years.
I don't mind. It's not about the content. Do what you do. It's not the content. It's the it's the belief that look how difficult my job is. It's very difficult what I do. Please understand. And they talk about the art of stand up. I don't care about that.
Who hurt
Just
you?
Make me laugh, funny man.
Where
That's
did
all.
You? Where did? Where was it that you turned on stand up comics?
Once they started getting podcasts,
I knew it was podcast related. Yeah. I knew it.
It was a lot. Some of them are great and they're funny and I'm in on them, but. A lot of it's like, hey, man, this is so tough. All the road stories, okay, they're all – I've heard it from you. I've heard it from that guy. They're all the same.
So
I know. You got to tell your road story.
This is where your hate for Barry came.
Barry who? Lamina?
Yeah.
I don't hate Barry Lamina.
You know Barry's with Joel this week?
Apparently you do.
I'm going to be on the show later. They're going to ask me about Dolphin stuff. No, I don't hate Barry Lamina.
Well, apparently you do.
You hate stand-up comedians who are trying to go through the grind of working at the Chuckle Hut and all that stuff.
And that's part of the problem. They talk about how tough the grind is. You picked a profession. That's what you picked. I don't dislike individuals, but as a group, I get them out of my face.
It's such a weird thing to, and I knew it was podcast that did it, because yes, you do learn too much. Like the curtain is pulled back once you do a podcast. Like you can't. It's not your tight, 15-minute set or your 1 hour. You get to be unadulterated, non-rehearsed. And so, yeah, there's probably some of that. But
well, it's not just that. I mean, being a producer on this show and others, they come in, they're doing their spot to promote their show in town. And it's like the anticipation of the host, hey, we got to get this guy to say something funny, make me laugh. It's all right. Oh, man. And they don't even like it. They don't like coming in and putting on a show because it's not what they want. They want to stand up in front of a crowd. But they know they got to make these hosts laugh to get people into the show. That's enough.
They're just funny people.
He
That's
asked
all.
They're trying
the
to
air.
Sell. They got to go no, sell I, their
I, you
wares.
Know what? That is uncomfortable when we bring in the comedians. That it, you know what? You don't always have to, funny man, make me laugh now.
No, but we've never tried to really do that.
No, we never do. Well, I'd like to have conversations with them, see their perspective. And usually those guys are just naturally funny.
We've got one of the things I always brag about is we've had some of the best comedians.
The best.
I mean, Patrice O'Neal loved doing our show. We had him on like three times. One of them, we called him after LeBron went to Cleveland just because he was a huge basketball fan.
How many times has Caliendo been on?
Frank has been on a billion times.
Yeah.
We've had Bill Burr. I've had Bill Burr on at two radio stations.
Yep.
Jim Jeffries only once, and it was one of the most memorable. He killed it at Nick's place and then literally got up and walked out. It was one of the first times before people used to say drop the mic, he dropped the mic. It was a WNBA joke. Norm wasn't as good.
Norm was great. He was fine.
Yeah, no, that was off the air. The off the air Norm was better, I thought, than on the air. And Louis C.K. was really good.
Yeah,
we've had some. I mean, we've had some really terrific comedians over the years. You know who sucked? And I had him at 790. Rob Schneider was awful. All he did was complain about how the headphones were hurting his ear. Oh. I said, you don't have to. It's just us talking. You don't have to wear headphones. Yeah. We're not going to the phones.
You know who else sucked?
We had Joe Rogan.
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Oh, Maniscalco. See, he was good for me.
He had no energy. He was bad.
Oh, was he? He was good for me. But and then also, we had Joe Rogan in here during 1560, where he was coming to do comedy during the I can't remember. He was in town for something, and all we ended up doing was talking UFC. It was probably about 2008 or 2009, I started asking him UFC stuff because I loved him from that, and I watched him on news radio, and that's actually before he became, you know, well-versed in a thousand things because, you know, he does his own work and his own he's one of the I do my own research guys. But but Joe, Joe was in here. We've had Nikki Glaser. Remember when Nikki Glaser was in here?
Oh, yep.
Blonde, you remember Nikki Glaser, right? She, her sets are
She's good. She's awesome.
She'll raw dog a set.
Listen, Jackie,
she does raw dog a set, Del. She will. She'll tell you that. I'll raw dog this set.
Jackie has generational hate against comedians on the Del with John and Lance show this morning.
What? I don't care.
I don't know.
What are you talking about? King Tunky leaving. King Tunky going. It's a holiday show. Do you
we
got to
talk Aggie football, apparently. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Let's get in on some of
the Vegas Bowl we got to talk about.
I got stories to tell you guys off the air.
Okay. Well right now, you got stories to tell about Craig the Surf. And then when we come back, I want to hear from Greg Cosell and what he thinks CJ needs to do. We'll do that on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah, but, my conversation now revolves around getting a vehicle. And you can do it here in Houston if you want. And I know a lot of people will say, well, it's just, you know, if I can choose a Chevy or a Buick or a GMC anywhere, so I'm going to do it here in Houston. That's fine. I will tell you this. Are you going to have salespeople who are fighting for you to get every discount possible? Are you going to have a sales staff or a general sales manager who is looking to get you the very highest amount and value on your trade-in? Are you going to find people who are willing to drop the price as low as they can go? Because your happiness in bringing in additional business is all they can think about. Because this is how business works. You want people to be happy with you. You want because then, you know, they tell their neighbors and they tell their friends and coworkers. A lot of times here, you just got the mercenaries, the sales staff that goes from dealership to dealership to dealership. Their whole thing is about getting the most they can out of you and then moving on to the next sale. That's not how they operate out in Angleton. I promise you that. That's a family-owned business. And the way Craig DeSurf demands that his company do business is just like your family. And that's why they don't lose sales staff. They've got everybody there that's been there for years because the way they treat people. So, yes, you've got 0% financing on GMC Sierra pickup trucks right now. You've got over $7,000 dealer cashback deals on Chevy Silverados. That's just a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. The deals are amazing. You can find them at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick, at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.com, or head down to Angleton where the service, the selection, the prices, they're all top-notch, and no one beats the people at out in Angleton at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, so there's a guy, Greg Cosell. Nobody watches more film than Greg Cosell. Nobody analyzes. Nobody does more homework on. I don't know that NFL coaches do as much because they study one team each week, and Greg Cosell studies every team every week. So I'm not sure that Greg Cosell isn't the foremost authority on film. Well, Greg Cosell was asked. And with Ross Tucker, he's on Ross Tucker's podcast. He was asked about C.J. Stroud and his development. And here's Greg Cosell.
Nope.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a technical difficulty.
Let me also say this. Greg Cosell also doesn't sugarcoat stuff. Like, he's not somebody who's going to say things that are performative. Well, it's not in his nature. He doesn't say performative things to make people for likes and clicks and retweets and happiness.
No, he just tells you the truth. We've had Greg Cosell on for 2 years. Greg Cosell is not happy and happy-go-lucky. I've got to please people.
No,
none of that.
No, he's just, this is the truth. I'm sorry if it makes you mad. So whatever he says is what he's seeing on tape, period.
And I'm sorry if I delivered it in a way that isn't going to entertain you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry that I'm not giving you – I don't have my pom-poms out for your favorite quarterback.
I'm not doing the ESPN dance, okay?
Sorry, I can't be like Dan Orlovsky and Harry Douglas dancing around and having a good time and saying every quarterback is brilliant.
Yeah.
I don't see any incompletions. I'm trying to find the accuracy problems for Anthony Richardson. I can't find them on tape.
That's something Dan Orlovsky actually said with his mouth before the draft.
I can't find them. Here's Greg Cosell on what's wrong with CJ.
So we all like CJ Stroud. That's not the point. But, you know, every player can continue to improve, particularly quarterbacks, because he's only in his second season. And clearly their offensive line this season was not as good as it was in his rookie season when he was very, very comfortable in the pocket. But that becomes the next step in a quarterback's development, particularly a quarterback who at his core is a pocket passer. You have to learn how to play when everything is not pristine. Because as you know, Ross, you played offensive line. Not every week is the offensive line going to give quarterbacks just a totally clean, secure pocket. It's the NFL. The players you're playing against on the defensive line with the blitz schemes that exist now in the league, they're so multiple and they're so advanced. Quarterbacks have to learn how to function in noisy, muddied pockets when the pocket is squeezed. And I think that's one of the next steps in his development. It's easy to watch on TV and say, oh, it's a bad O-line, he's under pressure. You know what? That happens in the NFL. You now have to learn how to play when the pocket is squeezed. And I think he'll get there, but I think this year has been a learning experience in that regard.
Boy, 1,000,000,000%.
Yeah.
The one thing that really stands out, the difference, I was thinking about this, between him and Joe Burrow, did you see Joe, the way he escaped the trouble the other day in the pocket, how smooth he was at climbing and escaping to extend, or climbing and throwing?
Yeah, CJ's not as good for whatever this year.
Oh, man, it's
so
noticeable.
He was really good at that last year.
It's so noticeable when the pocket squeezes, he's really struggling to climb and elude or to slide and throw. It is very noticeable.
I can't blame him. I can't blame him. It's not a criticism. But I think he's watching the rush more. He's not looking downfield nearly as much as he was last year, because that you absolutely are going to be shell-shocked back there. You're going to have PTSD. You're going to have all of these issues when you've gotten hit as much as he has gotten hit, and the blindside and the big hits that he's taken this year. It's certainly not a criticism, but maybe it's just an observation. Last year it seemed like he was always – didn't matter. He was looking downfield last second, knee on the ground, throwing the ball, escaping the pocket, running to the sideline, finding Nico middle of the field. I mean, it just seemed like it was so much easier for him last year.
Mm-hmm.
That this is a struggle and a big reason for it is because the rush is coming up the middle. And when a quarterback can see that, it's almost impossible to keep your eyes down the field. When a guy is running free up the middle, right at you, or bullying his way and collapsing the pocket right in front of you, it's almost impossible. It's hard to keep on looking down the field and even throwing the ball over those guys.
I think some of it too, John, is they're showing simulated pressure and then bringing guys off the edge. And that's turning into running backs and tight ends having to pick that up. And those guys are more easily collapsed into the pocket as well. So when those edges get tighter on him, he's not operating with very good pocket poise. I think that's one of the reasons that he's rushing and making throws. He's feeling he's not comfortable when the pocket is not really – look, you can't have a perfect pocket. You have to learn. Greg's right. He's going to have to learn. That's just life in the NFL.
That's it.
You're going to have to learn to – we can't just say offensive line all the time. Some of this is – I mean, if we're honest about it and we're not trying to just be CJ's best friend and hold his hand and go to parties with him and jump up and down on a trampoline and you're actually being a big boy and you don't have your pull-ups on, you can actually say things like, CJ Stroud feels pressure that isn't pressure. A little tighter pocket doesn't mean you can't throw. It doesn't mean you can't stay focused on the delivery at hand. And the fastest way you can see that is that the A to B throws that he made all year last year, the everyday out throws that were right on the hands, are now missing. And that's like, you know, there's only one of two things. Either the footwork's bad or he's rushing and panicking. Rushing, and I think it's probably a combination of both a little bit.
Well, And I don't know. I don't know that it's not getting any better. Juice Scruggs out. Juice, yep. Scruggs will not play this week.
Zach Thomas, I guess, is the left guard.
Is that how bad your 13th overall pick is?
Kenyon Greenway's just coming back from injury, so we don't know where he is physically, strength-wise, conditioning. I think we'll see Kenyon Green in the game.
You do.
He almost has to be. I mean, can they even afford not to have him active? I think he has to be active, right?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, Kendrick Green, is he all right?
Where is Kendrick?
Where is he alive? Is he still with us?
Kendrick Green. Let me see where Kendrick Green is, because I feel like he should be the one playing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's just not. Maybe. Hey, they're with those guys every day, and they see and they know. But it is scary right now not to have Juice there and maybe Kenyon Green there after all this time off with a shoulder injury, where you're not going to get stronger with a shoulder injury. The only thing you can do is get weaker, and that was one of his problems anyway, getting bowled over. And missing assignments. But I'm not sure that it's better this week for CJ. So he better take Greg Cosell's advice and learn how to play in a crappy pocket or a collapsing pocket, because that's probably going to happen again this week. 713-780-3776 is the number.
Cleanups for something. I did ask a prominent NFL executive, not a GM, but an executive, about Hunter versus the world at wide receiver. He said, A, much better wide receiver than cornerback, much better, that he will be a wide receiver, and that he's clearly the best wide receiver in this class. And he thinks he should be on par with Neighbors, Harrison, Odunze. The big three from last year, he said, throw him in that category. That's who he is.
Really?
Huh?
Wow.
Yeah, and this guy does not mince a lot of words either. And he's like, he's not a corner. And he is definitely a wide receiver, and he's a good one, too. He said, believe the hype and put him up there. Really good player. So,
wow.
That's one, guys.
I'd rather have McMillan, but I don't know. It's just something about the whole Colorado thing. I don't know. I still got that negative thing about it.
You got to get rid of that filter, because these are, you know, he's not a Colorado, but whatever negative filter you have, he's going to go to the pros and play in the pros.
Play well.
He'll be who he is.
Plays well. Yep. Congratulations on your Heisman and all the awards. Kid is really, really good. I don't love the hype around him. I don't love how ESPN deifies him.
That's not his fault.
No, it's not his fault at all. It's not his fault. You know who's really, really, really good? Republic Boot Company. When you go in, when you walk in Republic Boot Company, you are going to go, wow, this place is really – you've never smelled – you might have been in leather shops before, but you never smelled anything like this. The first thing, it just takes you over how awesome it smells in there. That's the first thing. Second, the entire line of boots and hats and jacket. I saw one jacket I had to buy. I mean, immediately I was like, oh, I'm buying this jacket. I love that jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to find something that you love in there too, belts, pants, you need some chaps, you can get chaps in there.
I didn't even know you get chaps.
Yeah, you get chaps in there. Sure, absolutely, they'll have chaps for you.
That's not just for playing cowboy and dressing up for the rodeo. That's
it's whatever you want to
do. Yeah, that's if you're real, though.
Yeah.
You got to be a real one cowboy, to have some chaps.
If you, oh, you don't think that Republic Boot Company will have chaps for you?
Nah.
If you need chaps?
They got gifts, T-shirts, belts, jeans. They've got Texas flags, Texas blazers, boot care if you need boot care. Like, this is your one-stop shop for all things cowboy. It really is. And phenomenal Texas history in there as well. They've got so much Texas history available there. A custom bootmaker that's considered the best in the world is right there in the Heights. It's like, it's insane. So make sure you stop in. And, of course, you can have little events there as well as social gatherings all the time. They've got some alcohol in there. They pour drinks. They've got music on their stage in there. It is an event when you go to Republic Boot Company. Get rodeo ready today and get your Christmas presents from RepublicBootCompany.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So I'm reading a story in the Chronicle about CJ. CJ said he got away from football. Well, he watched college games, but he said, I stayed away from the NFL. I needed time to clear my head. It was necessary. I spent time with family and, you know, just get away. And then he went back to work looking at Miami. But he did say he and Tua, Miami and Houston held joint practices before the 2023 season. And he said, Tua, here's the advice that Tua gave him. Really just take completions. Don't hold the ball too long. And that was Tua's advice. And Tua leads the league in completion percentage, right? Hey, this is what Tua does. That's how Tua is.
I get the feeling he didn't listen to Tua.
He doesn't feel like.
I feel like he went over and Big Brother Tua and said, "Listen, is he going to Big Brother Tua if they win, if the Texans win? Is he going to go over and give him the Caleb Williams treatment?"
No, I think he's actually going to. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's not what he just said. Actually, he looks up to Tua. Tua might Big Brother him.
Yeah,
that might happen.
Yeah,
hey,
should.
Bro, you're going to be okay. I know your completion percentage is only 63. Okay. You're going to get better, though. You'll get better. Fewer touchdowns per game, fewer yards per game, completion percentages down. All of these things are happening for CJ right now with a month to go in the season. So he's got to, you know, it sure would be nice if he can get back to last year's CJ, but we'll see. Hey, this is a must-win for the Dolphins.
Yeah, they have to win out to have any real shot. Now, if they have some other teams give them some help, if they're 10-7, another team is 10-7. If it's not the Colts because they lost to them, they have the tiebreakers over those teams. If it plays out that way, so yeah, they get to 10-7, they got a real shot. And some of these teams ahead of them play each other, so that'll help as well. So yeah, you're getting a desperate team who has to win. And has to win out. So this is
Joe
a narrative changing game for them because they don't beat good teams. They don't have to worry about the cold. The Texans are still looked at as a good team, but certainly vulnerable. So I think the Dolphins feel like this is one they can really get, but they have to go out there and do it.
Joe Mixon says, asked about, you know, the Dolphins and being a desperate team. Well, I don't know that the Texans are nearly that desperate, seeing as how they have basically a three-game lead in the division.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that what Joe is saying here is accurate, but here's what Joe had to say asking about Miami's desperation.
Put the ball on it. Let's put the ball on it. You know, I think these games is critical. It's also crucial that we approach the week 1 week at a time. You know, obviously we got a desperate team of Miami, but they're trying to go to the playoffs and make their run, but we desperate too. So, I mean, let's not lose track of, you know, what's really going on in terms of how we feel about the situation. You know what I'm saying? I think we just got to go out there and execute, and obviously that's the game. That's how we play the game. That's what you got to do.
You agree? You believe him?
I look at it a little different than you do. I think that this team is desperate to get back on the path of their expectations. They're not hitting our expectations, and maybe we have high goals, and they're you know, are they going to win their division? Yeah, they're going to win their division, but I don't think they're planning to go 9-7, you know, and I know it's a 17 game.
I know
it's a 17 game schedule. I'm just using the Bill O'Brien.
It is
9-7
though.
Is not the bar. I think they are playing, John, to like get back on the track to be an AFC championship contender. I think they want to hit that path, and it hasn't hit for them.
It hasn't. But there is a difference playing, one and done. There is a difference playing playoff games. There is a difference. This is basically a playoff game for Miami. They've got to win, and the Texans don't. So they do have a little leeway. And you know what? If they don't win, it'll just be like, oh, well, we're going to get back at it next week. In 4 days, we're going to get back at it, and we're, going to play our butts off, and we're going to, do everything. We're going to try and get it right. Miami loses. Like, I'll tell you who's a desperate team, the Rams. The Rams have been a desperate team.
What a trashy game that was.
That was the worst.
We haven't did you see who quit yesterday?
Oh, my God.
Do we have the Kyle Shanahan? Kyle was asked about, do you have it, Dell?
Not only, do you have the Kittle? Did you hear Kittle?
I didn't hear Kittle.
Oh.
So Vondre Campbell, who has been, he had a good rookie contract, and then he has just kind of been on the move ever since then. DeAndre Campbell left the field just like, bye, and left in the third quarter. And Kyle Shanahan was asked about it after the game was over. And the question, by the way, was more than just what happened to him. The follow-up question started asking about losing the locker room. But here's Kyle Shanahan being asked and answering.
So, first of all, they showed DeVondre Campbell walking off the field. Greenlaw's back, right? So he got the snaps, and Campbell didn't play at all in the first half. And they asked him to go in the third quarter, and he said, nah, and he walked to the locker room. So that's the background of him, being pissed off he was getting all them snaps.
Who else did this happen with recently? Was it in basketball where somebody said, I'm not going in? Remember, we've had this happen. Was it football or basketball? This just happened within the last couple weeks with somebody else.
Yeah.
This person got suspended.
I don't know the name.
But somebody else, it happened with another player who just said, nah. But DeVondre Campbell, listen to this. I don't think he's going to be a 49er after today.
I don't think so.
Here's
either.
Kyle Shanahan.
What happened with DeVondre Campbell? He didn't play, and he went into the locker room at some point.
Yeah, he didn't said he didn't want to play today.
Play today?
Yep.
The coaching staff.
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in. So.
During the game or before?
No, that was in the third quarter.
Is that all we have? Another guy asked him, "What do you feel like this means? Like, what do you feel like this means, and how do you keep from losing the locker room now?" And Kyle Shanahan is like, "I'm not losing the locker room's fine. I'm not losing the locker room." He basically, his answer was, "The locker room isn't happy with DeVondre Campbell either." But the narrative is now Kyle Shanahan's losing the locker room. And look, from the outside looking in, that team should have been way better. And this is, they're the biggest disappointment in football, aren't they, John? Or them or the Jets are the biggest disappointments in football.
Yeah.
I don't know how Brock Purdy thinks he's getting his cheddar, because this is like giving me pause. You got Debo Samuel is not performing. He got paid a bunch. He's not performing anymore. Brandon Ayuk is out. The offensive line hasn't been as good. I mean, defensively they held up. It was six field goals in the game total. 12-6, and the Rams, the desperate Rams, won.
Hey,
the Rams are making the playoffs, John. The Rams are going to make the playoffs.
But this is the same thing they did last year, by the way. It's the same exact thing that they did last year. They started crap, and they finished strong. Hey, Dell, I put in Charvarius Ward, and I'll find the Kittle one, too. But I put it in the rundown.
I have the Kittle one.
The Kittle one?
I want to hear from George Kittle.
Listen to Kittle. You don't hear guys saying this about teammates.
Or disbelief or just disconnection on the sideline?
Not disbelief or disconnection, like, as a team. That is one person who just decided not to, play for his teammates. And I don't think that doesn't make our offense look at each other and be like, wow, man, we're falling apart. It's more of a – or like the defense, hey, we're falling apart. It's more of a one person making a – like Mooney said, a selfish decision, and I'm with Mooney on that. And I've never been around anybody that's ever done that, and I hope I'm never around anybody that does that again.
Oh, I think we know where that one – yeah, he ain't going to be – you can't keep him with the 49ers. What are we talking about?
Well, here's what – Dell, I put a new one in there. I put it just the X So if you could grab Traverius Ward, Mooney Ward as well, because that is it. You don't hear guys talking about teammates calling them selfish. Never seen them do anything like this. You cannot walk out because your feelings are hurt because you lost your playing time because one of the best linebackers in football came back.
Bro, do you think Greenlaw's checks been, will last forever? These checks don't last forever.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Take your backup reps and cash your check. God,
I mean,
so stupid.
You know, the last one, well, the last one that we saw, the defensive back from the Colts at halftime.
Oh.
I'm done.
Vontae Davis.
Devontae Davis.
No, Vontae. Yeah. Vontae Davis.
Vontae Davis. Vontae Davis. Remember at halftime he said, okay, we're going to go back.
I'm good.
Nah, I'm going home. What? Well, but he knew he was done with football. I'm not sure Devontae Campbell
yeah,
knows.
Yeah, I forgot.
You know
he died this April. Did you know that, Vontae Davis? Yeah.
Yeah. And he walked out. He walked out of the locker room. You have here's Mooney Ward. He didn't mince words on Devontae Campbell walking off the field.
Oh, by the way, Deontay Johnson was the other guy who refused to go in.
Oh yeah,
remember Deontay for the Johnson. Ravens? Like, no, I'm not playing.
Yeah. And so they said, okay, leave. Beat it. You're out. You're suspended. Now, there's no way that Campbell's going to be part of the 49ers after today.
No, he'll be cut. His teammates are done with him.
Yeah, yeah. When the teammates are saying stuff like that, well, stuff like this. You got Ward or no, Del?
He needs to be cleaned up. Maybe we can do it here after the break.
Okay.
We got top of the hour. We will get to start talking a little bit about Oklahoma City and the Rockets. The Rockets slayed the Dragon the other day in an unconventional way at the end of the game, a game that they lose 99 out of 100 times over the last couple of years. They found a way to win, and that's a very good sign. We'll talk about that and whether or not the Rockets can put back-to-back Ws on the board against Oklahoma City. That's going to be the question.
Okay. I got to talk right now about Jim Fiume, and I want to talk about Gulf Coast Windows. I want to talk about over 35 years in the business. I want to talk about a guy who pulled himself up by his bootstraps. I don't know that he ever had boots because he's from New York. I'm not sure that he ever had boots, but he pulled himself up out of a bad situation. He was an orphan. He came to Houston. He started a window business, and he made one of the best window businesses in the city's history. Okay, because I'm telling you, Gulf Coast Windows, it's different. They have the best windows. They ain't gonna. Oh, here's a flimsy window. Let us put that in for you. We ain't doing that. We're just not doing that. We're putting the best window that we could possibly have in the market in your window, be it aluminum, be it wood clad, be it a hurricane window, whatever it is, sliding door, and you've got. The sliding doors, you've got all of these different doors, and you want to beautify your home, you want to secure your home, you want to add value to your home, and you want to lower your energy bills. All of those things happen with one fell swoop. If you have to replace your windows or your building, anything new, use Gulf Coast Windows. GulfCoastWindows.com, 713-849-5454 or GulfCoastWindows.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.